Hello, listeners. This is George here. I just wanted to jump in real quick before this episode starts. You know, sometimes producing a podcast, you have a hard time keeping track of everything, and we got a little bit out of order. We jumped ahead on our last episode talking about purpose, which is one of our principles inside of our product team framework, and that was one episode ahead. We were still missing one of our pillars, one of our principles and one of our pillars called rest. So I wanted to just make a note that we know that if you have been following along real closely, when there's a couple of you, that we might have skipped something. And it happens. We made a mistake. No big deal. You're going to get to hear it anyways. So I really enjoyed this conversation Dan and I got to have on rest, and I think you are too. So let's jump right in. Hey, Dan.
Hey, George. What do you got for us today?
You know, we've been hustling. We've been working hard. It's been a it's been a busy but good season in Crema's growth. And, you know, we live in the United States, old Western culture that just, they love the hustle, right? We love hard work. I think our last episode, we talked about contribution and that hard work can be good. But I think there are some risks in hard work, too much, too long. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a really powerful and needed thing called rest.
Not a new term.
Nope. It's been around a long, well, I mean, since the beginning.
Right. Since someone started to nap or sleep.
Yeah. To go in a coma. What's the word? Comatose?
Homeostasis?
Homeostasis, comatose. Yeah. I wanted to unpack this idea. We've been talking about the framework throughout the last couple of years of the podcast. And again, just to remind those that are maybe picking up on this being the first episode, hearing people at product, the framework includes, or this framework that we've been working on, which is about, you know, creative and adaptive teams. What are the principles or the ideas that should guide these teams, or at least should be things that they're thinking about? Mm-hmm. And in that framework, there's three pillars. There's postures, disciplines, and structures. Mm-hmm. And then within each of those pillars, there's kind of four themes that we've kind of identified. We've gone through all the postures, so go back and listen to previous podcasts where we talk about, you know, curiosity and humble confidence and resilience. And then we've touched on most of the disciplines or habits. So if you think of the postures or like mindsets, the way of thinking, the way you bring yourself into the space, and then disciplines or habits are the things that you do, the rhythms that you create, the things that you try to keep in mind as you're doing the work, right? And we've already touched on disciplines includes exploration. Disciplines includes contribution and feedback. So again, what are you doing? How are you thinking about what's ahead of you? How are you picking up data and figuring out if you're working on the right thing and making sure that you're working well together? That's the feedback piece. Mm-hmm. But at the bottom of this loop, or at the bottom of this, I guess we just put it on a circle. You know, why do we choose a circle? I don't know. It's the
circles
bottom.
Are nice. Yeah. It's continuous.
It looks soft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the bottom point at the circle is rest. Mm. And I think we had a lot of other things of things that we ought to keep doing in a habit, but rest is an interesting thing because it's kind of like, it's the habit that says for us to do something that forces you to stop doing things.
Mm-hmm. There's always more to get done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Task list never stops.
Why do you think, maybe that's it. Why do you think that rest is so hard for most people?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for some, it's just the constant like movement and advancement towards a goal or what they're working towards is compelling. It could just be part of how they're wired, which again, on the extreme can lead to workaholism.
Sure.
I think for...
And there's some people that have high capacity. So like...
Yeah, very high capacity.
They can work and not... It doesn't drain them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Others have, for the longest time, even my wife, when we were first married, even in college, I just remember she could stay up super late and study extremely late, you know, 1, 2 a.m. and then go to a 7 a.m. class. And she did, that was just the way. Now that doesn't work. I mean, life changes, four kids,
sure.
greater levels of just, you know, energy being removed from you. But so maybe that's also a thing to say too, is that I think rest changes throughout seasons of life
Of course.
I think other things that if I think about times where I haven't rested or people closest to me where, you know, that has come up, like I'm tired. I think a lot of it is also control. I mean, if you think about it, your most vulnerable time is when you're asleep for 8 hours. I mean, there's a lack of control. What an amazing
thing that the human body's okay with that. We're like, oh, we will get sick. We will die if we don't sleep.
Right.
Or we'll go crazy.
You're laying there for, whatever, you know, however many hours, 6 to 8, 9 hours, whatever you're getting per night. And you have, but the world keeps moving. I think that's the thing. It's like, I think sometimes it's hard to make that leap, especially if you're in a season of a lot of, like you said, hustling, busy season. Maybe it's a longer season than you wanted it to be. And maybe you've made it that way unintentionally.
Yeah.
And there's just this, I think there's a dissonance between the knowledge that, yes, I do need sleep. Things will continue. The world will continue to spin. But our actions and our choices kind do not line up with that. We continue to work hard. We continue to work longer hours. We don't take vacation. I mean, I think it's easy to like wake up and be like, man, when's the last time I had a vacation? When's the last time? And an actual vacation.
I hear you.
Not a long weekend.
I get it. I get what you're saying.
No, you're doing it.
You just
came back from
one. Let's be honest. This is something I'm glad we're talking about because it's not something I'm great at. Right. And I think that there's definitely things that you and I might have fortes in or things that it becomes easier to us. And we make this framework saying like, this is the way you ought to do things. And it's an archetype. Right. And we want to be clear with that, but it's a discipline. It actually takes work, effort to figure out how to train yourself to do that. For example, I'm fine to a certain extent, just getting up and doing work every day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 365, I'm exaggerating, but like all year long. And even though I love traveling, even though I love going on trips, even though I love doing things with my family, the rhythm of just continuing to work is comfortable. Mm-hmm. You just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And it has always been a challenge for me, both in the planning and in preparing for the rest, which is maybe something we could talk about, but that the idea of taking time off for me just seemed impossible, mm-hmm. or impractical or irresponsible, or I don't know, all those words.
Well, and even when it became something that was probably the responsible thing to do, there's habits that form in, and it's easy to just stay in those old rhythms.
Yes.
It's interesting, you know, and I think even scientifically, intuitively, those two things aren't the same, but maybe both is scientifically and intuitively, we know
intuition can lead to a scientific idea. Yeah.
Right. That rest is important because if you just look at the way that the human body functions,
right.
If you, so the greatest spikes and pulses of human growth hormone is when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So, if you read any workout article or, hey, I want to improve my cardiovascular or, you know, I want to, you know, gain more muscle, whatever that looks like, every single article I've ever read around that emphasizes the importance of rest and sleep.
Yeah.
That is the time where your muscles are rebuilding. It's interesting. You go to the weight room or you go and it's like, and you get on a bike or you run. It's like, oh, I'm getting faster and I'm getting better by training, which you are, but at the moment you're not. In the moment, you're actually breaking yourself down. Like
you're hurting yourself.
Right.
I mean, you're tearing your muscles.
Right. It's not until you get good sleep 48 hours, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, that you're actually seeing the gains as long as you take that proper rest. And so we have the information in front of us. It's like, that's the way the human body functions anyways. Like normal, it's normal that you heal from, you know, a sickness by getting good rest and good nutrition, but good rest. Same thing with building muscle. I mean, even if you look at, and this is top of mind for me, because I have a race tomorrow.
Yeah, you do.
So I was like, so I just researched, hey, the proper nutrition and for the week prior. And there is a lot of it that's just sleep longer than you normally do. Try to get as much sleep. Consume as many, you know, carbohydrates, rest, don't train, actually taper down.
Drink, eat Oreos, and play video games all night.
That's right. Because, yeah, that's probably some people's definition of rest. So it's just interesting that we have the data. Our body is telling us that that is right and good.
Yeah.
But and we just don't follow along with it.
It's true also for the mind as well. If you're in knowledge work,
yep.
You're talking about a physical exertion, but it's the mind is the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because some of my most tiring days is coming home from like long strategy sessions.
Yeah.
And you're zonked. And then you wake up after hopefully a good night's sleep and you feel completely refreshed.
Yeah. You really do. If we do something like a design sprint or, you know, a multi-day workshop, one, they're intense. They're forcing your brain to, in some ways, reprogram, like do a bunch of things that you don't normally do on a day-to-day basis, which is a lot of what creativity is. It's breaking the standard practice, if you will.
Yep.
And looking at things in a what's the right word? Lateral way, where you can say, exactly, I want right. to think about what's next to me as a new idea. How do I do lateral thinking, which is intense for the brain to process. Mm-hmm. And then you do those day to day to day with, I mean, a design sprint can be lots of different things, but let's say it's a 5-day design sprint or even a 3-day strategy session. Mm-hmm. Doing that back to back to back can be exhausting unless you give your brain that opportunity to go, okay, cool. We just did a really hard workout today. Mm-hmm. Let's recharge. Let's literally heal ourselves in some sleep. Mm-hmm. So I think sleep is one thing. So, I think sleep, I mean, there's lots and lots and lots coming out right now about the power of sleep.
Right.
Right. And I think that early on in Crema's history, I definitely undervalued sleep. One, I was young, we just had kiddos. So, you know, you're up all night anyways. And I was working with a team in India. So they got on at 4 a.m. You know, my rhythms were basically like sleep 3 hours, get up, do work or take care of a kiddo for a couple hours and maybe get a couple more hours. And so you're averaging like, I don't know, 5 hours of sleep at the most. Mm-hmm. And that's okay for a season.
Yep.
But it would not be sustainable for a long period of time because there was no chance for my mind to heal, to rebuild, to think about, okay, let's recharge. We can do this again. So sleep's one thing. And there's lots of studies that are coming out saying the power of sleep.
But that's not all that goes into the resting, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are other types of rest? You already mentioned vacations, which is just a sense of like checking up, doing something different than the work.
Yeah. I've realized that when I take, you know, vacations that are at least, you know, a week, 5-7 days, to longer than that is, I think it's the same thing, or I would make an analogy back to the, you know, resting your body, after a workout is that you're not losing a step. You actually gain, you gain perspective and you gain a renewed sense or a recharged creative edge.
Yeah.
When you come back. You know, there's always that day of like, okay, I'm still in vacation brain. Got to get caught up. But I find that the next day, it's like, I don't feel like I've lost a step. If anything, I feel like that perspective and that time away to disconnect and like look at other areas of life, you know, whatever that may be for you, it actually enhances and maybe even pulls me forward in what I've been doing at work. Because there's that, you mentioned that lateral move. I find sometimes my best ideas come after or when during and after I've mowed the lawn.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I'm just out there. And to me, that something most people like that's not resting. No, it's not, but it's kind of restful for me. Cause it's just,
the manual labor is different than the knowledge labor.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then, you know, I'll be mowing the lawn and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe something we were troubleshooting earlier on in the day, we didn't make a decision. A new idea or a way of looking at it comes to mind. I'm like, oh, okay. interesting because there was that lateral, I don't know, you want a lateral move within my brain that I think is analogous to rest. And so I think when you disconnect and you go on vacation, you have different experiences with your family. Maybe you go to a brand new place. You're talking with people of a different culture. To me, that's the same thing. You have this lateral move, which can give more creativity. And then sometimes I'll just be sitting on a beach on vacation. I'm like, oh, I'm going to mention that to the team when I get back. Or, you know, there's just these ideas, these epiphanies that come up.
It's funny that you say this. So I think maybe it is this idea of lateral thinking. It's putting yourself, your brain in different situations so that you can think differently. I think we think that, man, all I need to do is like grind at researching, reading, designing, writing more code, more experiments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that we'll get different or better results by just doing more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, sometimes it's like, no, you actually need to step away from the problem. You need to step away from the grind to have any sense of clarity. So the exact same thing happened to me on vacation. So you mentioned I took a vacation. I took a full 2 weeks off. I could have gone longer, I think, and it would have been fine, but that's okay. But we were on the beach. And when I was on the beach, I wasn't thinking too much about work. Every once in a while, I would daydream off a little bit. But I don't sleep really well. I think it's a little bit hereditary. My dad never sleeps super well. His dad never sleeps super well. But like we all kind of lament about the 2:30 a.m. Like, I'm up. Why am I awake? You know, kind of thing. I've never been the deep, like my wife, she can, you know, Jess can sleep like 10 hours straight and just not even move. And I still was having light sleep while I was on vacation. But what was funny is I was waking up and finding myself like solving problems in my sleep on vacation that were work related. And I literally was like, I would just take a quick note and my phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, okay, cool. Got that out. Now, sometimes I would wake up in the morning and like, that did not make any sense.
What is that? That idea will tank us.
My brain was kind of going like, hey, you're in a different place. You're in a different state right now. I'm going to go and just release some of these things.
Yeah.
And I think that is the power of rest. Nate, who's our VP of sales, his rest is these intense, far-flung trips that he takes. So he'll go to like Vietnam and ride a motorcycle across the country, or he'll, you know, go to Colombia and, you know, backpack across whatever. For him, it's that I want to go to a different place. It's nothing like where I am now, with people that look nothing like I do, with, you know, taking risks, trying things I've never done before, feels like a recharge for him.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's what we're saying is, yes, there's a physical rest. You need to sleep. Yep. It's extremely important. You need to find time to let your body and mind, you know, I think that's why meditation is really popular right now. It's this idea of how do you give your mind a rest, especially when we have these stupid electronic pieces of glass in our pocket that are just forcing our brain to just be on and doing things all the time. How do you let that rest?
Yep.
And then there's also the doing something that's not like what you normally do allows you to recharge.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, it's the same with reading. I think every third book for me should be fiction without question. You know, you get into whether
I can get business booked out for sure.
Yeah. Business book, leadership book, you know, whatever book you want that's heady. And then after a while, it's like, oh, my brain can't take another one. So it's like, I need a good fiction that I can get lost in some sort of fictitious reality where, you know, there's these characters and great backstories. And then I can go back to another book. But I think that's the same thing, is I need to get lost. And more often than not, I'm able to take a scene from the book or something the main character is struggling with or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay. I can extrapolate a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then come back to, you know, nonfiction or whatever. But yeah, I love fiction books.
That's really key, Dan. I think that I just said your name to you in person, which is a thing that drives me crazy.
I'm totally okay with it.
that's really key, Dan, is this idea that how much we can learn from not forcing the same sets of data into our brain.
I'm pretty sure our brains are not meant to take all of the information that's available to us. It's just overload. It's and so much. Yeah, we got to take in what we can take in. And then, I don't know, I feel like a good fiction book or a vacation or rest is just that. It's like tilling the soil almost, you know, it's like, all right, it's pruning. It's pruning. It's pruning back the, you know, the produce or whatever, and getting it ready for new growth almost.
Now there are spectrums. We talked about this before we started recording. There are spectrums of rest, and this is kind of true of everything. And you and I have been talking a lot about the fact that we really want to get away from like the world being 100% black and white, and more like the fact that there is goodness in, and I guess negativity or badness in everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And I think rest can be the same way. The goodness of rest is the recharge, the ability to clear our minds, the ability to allow us to keep coming back and doing work and creating the discipline around those things is good. And we ought to do it so we're sleeping well at night. We should take the weekends off, or at least have a full day of like completely disconnecting from work. I think that people should take rest from technology, right? We actually try to remove screens from in front of us. That's the idea of being out in nature, which is of course becoming really popular again. Like, why is it popular? It's like, well, yeah, because
that's so funny. Nature's becoming popular again.
I mean, it kind of is a thing. I mean, right. I think there was a period of time, like growing up, we had the TV on all the time. It's just, it was a very normal thing for like in the 90s, I feel like, or 80s and 90s, like, oh, we can have a television. It's color and it's always live and it has stuff coming in all the time. I could just leave this on and it felt good. It just fed this like hunger in our brains. I think it also damaged us in many ways, but so that's one end of the spectrum where, no, what am I trying to say? So there's the goodness of rest.
Yeah. I mean, too much of a good thing.
Yeah. Too much of a good
thing. Or not enough of a good thing.
Okay. So maybe that's the balance where we're saying is like the goodness is when it's balanced. When you're finding times for intense engagement, intense work, intense contribution.
Yep.
And then balancing that with a good night's sleep, weekends off, going on vacation on a regular basis, looking for other activities that are going to help you to do lateral thinking, looking for ways to balance the brain, to not just keep shoving it down, but actually balance it. So that's kind of more in the middle, but on the ends of the spectrum, there is no rest, which I think we all are familiar with, this idea of workaholism or grinding was a pretty popular word, or hustle culture, right? Which is to say, if you're not working 100-hour weeks, are you really working? Like, are you going to achieve your dreams if you're not willing to work like that? And again, there can be seasons of that. Well, it's just like manual labor. Like I actually love working in the yard, but you know, after working in the yard for like 6 hours straight, I'm like, I need to stop. I'm hot. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm not used to that. Two, I need to rest. I might come back and finish the project tomorrow, you know? So workaholism or overworking and not resting at all is an issue. I think that's a generational issue too. I think that there was
for sure.
Generations maybe that came out of the baby boomers that were coming out off of their parents experiencing the Great Depression and feeling like, no, you work and you don't stop working because you're not guaranteed that you're going to have food on the table kind of thing.
Well, and the sun up to sundown was very, I mean, it was work was very based on the seasons.
Right.
I mean, completely. The weather really defined your work day and the season, you know, if depending on what you're producing, you know, spring through fall, it's you know, maybe you are working from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. because that's, you've got daylight to be able to do what you want to do. And then, you know, in the winter months, you know, you may not be working not much at all, depending on, you know, your work, but it was really defined by, so that whole idea of sun up to sun down. I mean, you probably did have people working 80-100 hour, but right. That's just 12, because
15 hour days. Yeah.
Right. And for them at that point, it may not have been overworking. It was just the season.
Well, you know, right. Because then they would have winter.
Exactly.
Where they weren't planting, where they, maybe right. they were doing things that they had to kind of prepare, and they, you know, had to keep things from freezing and dying. But like, yep. Your body went into, in some ways, like a hibernation kind of state where you start to slow down, right?
Yep.
Your rhythm of the season is, this actually is going to be a long season of us not laboring, mm-hmm. but now reaping the reward of the work that we did before.
Yep. And, but with the way that times have changed to where we still have, you know, obviously agriculture without question, but the bulk of work becoming service and knowledge work,
yep.
is that sun up to sun down, and just the change too in family life, mm-hmm. you know, it's, you know, family life is now a lot of revolved around, you know, activities in the evening, which can be good. There can be too much of it, but there's going to be a lot of good there.
Right.
So working sun up to sun down can create even a bigger disconnect between you and your friends and family, your community, mm-hmm. because of just the changes in the way that, you know, that we experience just social behavior. Uh-huh. You know, for the most part, you know, in agrarian society, you probably worked with your family. So
you were with them.
Yeah, you were right. with them. Yeah, and yeah. so this idea of like, oh, I need to get off at 5 so I can, it's like, well, no, I'm going to be with my kids for another 4 hours until the sun goes down because yeah. we're yeah. working. Yeah. But things, so the, I think there needed to be a shift. So you mentioned the baby boomer generation, and this is all speculation and conjecture. Yeah, here, but it's fair, more,
if anyone listening, we're not social scientists or anything. This is just us.
I just want to clarify that. Yeah. It's more just me wondering of that mentality. So hard work was associated to a definite time period, you know, sun up to sun down. That doesn't, there's still the, a good mentality of we're going to work hard, mm-hmm. but it probably doesn't need to be, probably shouldn't be sun up to sun down, depending on, again, depending on your vocation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that can lead to what we've talked about, you know, burnout, grinding, and yeah. grinding is a great term because it really does feel that way. You know, those seasons, you know, thinking back to some seasons we had a few years ago. I can remember times where I would come home and I really just felt like, you know, I'd been chipped away at,
uh-huh. yeah,
just grinding. Yeah. And
you're, you like, how much more can I do?
Right. And you know, it's like, depending on your capacity, it's like there for a season that can happen, but afterwards mm-hmm. if you go too long without resting or, making those changes, you can definitely feel like, okay, I'm being grinded away here.
Yeah.
So okay, yeah, so that's one end of the spectrum for sure.
And on the other end of the spectrum, there is, you put it earlier, I think, well, this idea of you only work so that you can have leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. we definitely are in a comfort generation,
mm-hmm.
Comfort society, where the ultimate end, or the ultimate goal is not to do good work. The ultimate goal is to do enough work so that I can have leisure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
Or I mean, a lot of time, the classic American dream, it's like, you know, you get to 62, 65 and
to retire.
I've made it. Now I retire. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's goodness in that, right? There's goodness
right.
in,
absolutely.
In the, you've put in your time so that you can rest. But I think that we idolize and glorify this idea of the vacation life
mm-hmm.
that like, if I can only get to the point where I could just perpetually live the vacation life.
Right.
Where I could sit on a beach forever. I could, you know, go out to eat and never have to like sit down and like take the time to prepare food all the time. I could just live, you know, without effort. And I think I kind of said that can be miscued as lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be careful that it's not always lazy. Sometimes it's just like, I want to just experience the pleasure yeah. of,
or even complacency.
Yeah.
I think is a good term. It's like, yeah. I'm okay. I'm good here. I've peaked, so to speak.
Almost a giving up.
Yeah. It's like, I'm good here. I'm good here, which obviously for us, goes against one of our values, which is constant improvement. The right. idea of
generosity
and learning. It's like, I'm learning so that I can continue to make a contribution way past, you know, retirement, way past vacation, way past this, this time off or this rest I'm taking, I'm resting so that I can come back refreshed, continue to contribute, learn, grow. But yeah, I think there's just so much this end in mind of I'm working for the weekend. I'm right. working to get to vacation. I'm yeah. working to get retirement yeah. and all of that is leisure. And again, we're not saying leisure is bad.
Not at all.
I think we'd be the first to say that we love leisure. It's oh, dude, great.
You and I can hang out on the weekend and just sit and drink like the best of them. Right. But
right.
But if our whole week, that's why I, at a certain point, I got really uncomfortable with this idea of like the working for the weekend, like you just said, or just can't wait for Friday. Let's mm-hmm. celebrate Friday. It's the end of the week. I don't have to work anymore so that I can go. Again, it's like, I'm only doing this work so that I can get to the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to Mondays. Now mm-hmm. I look forward to Mondays because I actually rested on the weekends. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is a lot of people don't actually take the weekends to rest. They'll continue to work or mm-hmm. they'll continue to stare at a screen, which is what they were doing during the week, you know, and they don't allow their brain to rest. Now, and I'm perfect at that. You know, there's lots of ways that I could get better at that, especially with the screen stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Likewise. You
know, yeah. But when you do actually rest, then it allows you to come back and go like, oh, cool. Monday is actually, I'm pumped for it. I'm ready for it. Like even coming back from vacation, I was checked out pretty much all the way through until the last few days where I was like, okay, let's start turning this back on. It's like pulling the cord on the weed eater. I don't know. It's electric now, but you know what the analogy works. Like
pull the trigger, push the button.
You know, like is the battery charged?
Right.
And starting to get back in, starting to check some notifications, starting to read some articles again, starting to get, okay, I'm going to get back going again. And then by the time Monday came back around, I was like, yeah, let's mm-hmm. do this. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm recharged. I'm feeling good. I have no idea what I'm supposed to work on right now, but that's okay. I'll get there. Mm-hmm. But I felt excited to come back and do good work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's, I think rest should be the motivation to get back to the contribution.
Mm-hmm. And I think something needs to be said that rest, especially in the time that we live, it has to be planned and it has to be intentional and it has yeah. to be structured
you're
well.
So much better at that than I am. Oh
well,
my gosh.
Even like on the weekend. So, you know, even, you know, in my faith tradition, you know, as a Christian, you know, the idea of taking Sabbath,
yeah.
what we found as a family, it's like, we really want to make sure that our weekend is dedicated to where we have time for rest, you know, away from screens and just enjoy one another and truly rest.
Yep.
It never worked so well until we actually put a 24-hour period on it.
Yeah. So
like a literal 24-hour from, I think it was 5 PM Saturday to 5 p.m. Sunday.
Yeah, I love that.
And what that did is like, okay, if 5 p.m., so Saturday morning, I can get the lawn done, get all of our stuff done, errands ran, grocery store, all that stuff. And then we get to 5 p.m. And then it's just enjoying one another, going out to dinner, watch yep. a movie, play games,
yep.
you know, see what the neighbors are doing, whatever. And then 5 p.m. Sunday, it didn't put as much pressure to where, like, if I needed to check an email, or after 5 mm-hmm. p.m. on Sunday. Because like you said, I love what you said there. Ease my brain back into after vacation. I think the same thing on the weekend. It's like, okay, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock rolls around, check a Slack, or, oh, we have a big meeting on Monday. Or it's like, okay, let me get my mind arranged. Like that freed me because I was no longer kind of in quote unquote rest mode. So yeah. for me, that structure, that planning, even with vacations, I now, and I've been doing this for 3 years, I will take the day off before we leave for vacation
mm-hmm.
because it allows me to get in vacation mode away mm-hmm. from work so yeah. that I'm actually present with my family.
Yeah, it's smart.
And then I'll take the day off after, kind of like what you said, to ease my mind and get ready for it. Cause it's almost like shock. If you go from vacation and then you come back and you go back to work, it's like,
vacation,
whoa,
like,
whoa, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why am I here right now? Yeah. So anyways, I think there's structure that comes, that can be a good thing when it comes to that.
Okay. So this is really good. And I want to, especially as we're unpacking the framework as a whole, sometimes it can be said that the disciplines, habits should just like happen. on accident, or maybe there's intentionality. But I think what you're saying is you can do some small things. I was talking to Teresa Torres on our podcast, Discovering, what's it called? Oh my gosh. Oh, Continuous Discovery Habits. Mm. And we talked about the fact that, to your point, habits require a cue, a routine, and a reward. Charles Duhigg, right? The habit routine. And so if we're talking about this being a discipline, that rest is a discipline, you have to figure out what your cues are. So for you, it's 5 p.m. on Saturday, right? So you could set an alarm, or you could literally block the time on your calendar, whatever it is, or just know 5 p.m. or roughly 5 p.m. It's like, this is sundown on Saturday, right, or whatever. Or it's the day before the vacation, so I'm going to block that extra day. Mm-hmm. Or it's, you know, whatever that rhythm is. I have a thing on my phone, which I have been ignoring recently, I'll be completely honest, where it's like, you need to be getting ready for bed right now.
And oh yeah. Like, I've got that on mine too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like 2 hours later, I'm like, why am I still awake? But I think that you can do some, like you said, some structural things where you put cues in place to remind you you're getting ready to rest. Mm-hmm. This is in its own way, this is its own work, is this is going to be a little uncomfortable. You're going to have to ask your brain to do something different than what it's been doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so here we go. Let's take a breath. Let's go ahead and do this. It's the same thing with meditation. Like this, the idea of sitting down, and for, you know, with our faith background, this idea of sitting down and praying or meditating or studying any way, like it takes work to say, I'm going to do something different than what I do 99% of the rest of the day. And I'm going to rest. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to clear my head. I'm going to pray. I'm whatever that is. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But once you build the discipline of it, your body goes, oh, I'm used to that. I know that's coming. I know that structure that you have in place for me is good.
Right.
And I think that's a really key thing. That's a very practical takeaway from this conversation around rest, is how can you look for some small things, mm-hmm. whether it's a time or a moment or an activity or something that says, train your brain to go, this is when we're going to rest. We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then plan for it.
Right.
Like, again, I'm not a great planner. You know this. We talked about this before. Anybody that listens to the Boss Cat podcast maybe can pick up on the fact that, man, George never seems prepared. he can wing it like crazy, but he may not be prepared. But when you do prepare, it allows you to actually enjoy that moment of rest, that vacation.
100%.
And this is something, when we came back from London, talking to Mark from Form, some of the personal advice he gave me was like, George, I know that you love living in the moment, which means if I'm only ever living in the moment, I'm just going to do what my body does by default, which is work. Mm. And because that's actually what I've trained it to do pretty well, is just to get up, check the things, check, you know, talk to the people, create the asset, whatever. What you're going to have to figure out how to do is how to treat the planning as a fun thing, because I have to be having fun. I'm an Enneagram 7. As a fun thing that will lead to a moment that you can enjoy later. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, planning the vacation, I did most of the planning for that. I think it is a discipline to learn how to create those structures you just talked about for rest. And I'm working on it.
I think what you find is that the upfront, that intentionality, but then when you get to that point, it's like, you can be spontaneous and you can be, what we found, what was frustrating, has been frustrating for us, is that, well, and just honestly, our season of life, spontaneity is not much of a thing.
Oh, you've got, we've got 14 and a half kids.
Yeah. Right. That's right. I mean, and I tell my kids that sometimes, like, hey, Dad, can we go to Sky Zone today? I'm like, all right, hold on. Look at our family. It's like, I would love to be spontaneous, but it's just not much of a thing. Sky Zone? All right, let's look at the calendar. I mean, and that's just, but then when we get it on there, and then we get there or wherever we're going, it's
Go crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. So we, what I found is that intentionality leads to being, present and not just proximate, but present with whoever you're going to be with, friends on a vacation or family or, you know, a night out or whatever that looks like. But there has to be that level, at least for us, again, that level of structure. That way, when you get to it, you don't have to worry about it.
And to that end, on the other end of the spectrum, it is learning to say, I've planned for this. Mm-hmm. So while I'm there, I don't have to be planning.
Exactly. It's like, what are we going to do tomorrow? Yeah. That's the worst on a vacation, or it's like, hey, what are we going to do tomorrow? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes that's okay.
And that can be uncomfortable too. So for, so for my wife, she's a planner. She's really great at looking ahead. And so she's always looking ahead. So sometimes it is her leaning on me to go like, hey, let's be here and enjoy this moment because we planned for this moment. Mm-hmm. And like, while we're here, we don't have to be thinking about what the next moment is. Mm-hmm. And that's also rest. It's like, while you're resting, do it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You planned for this. You planned for the rest. You put the cues in place. Now actually practice it. Mm-hmm.
There was a friend of mine, he was talking about a vacation he just took with his wife. Well, Gabe at church.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And, 3 weeks ago or whatever. And he said something that I thought, oh, that's so great. He said, we had a little bit of an itinerary, but we also just kind of, it was also loose.
Yeah.
Cause it
leave,
felt like
the space. Yeah.
And he said something in the opposite. He said, over planning felt too rigid, but going there with no planning felt exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-hmm. Interesting. Cause I would have thought like over planning exhausting.
Yeah.
But he said like planning nothing felt exhausting. And I thought, interesting. Yeah. Cause if you get there and you didn't know what you're doing, no plan, no nothing, that can lead to exhaustion.
Yeah. Literally just took a deep breath thinking about it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. So there is that happy medium, like, you know, structuring too much is too rigid. You know, it's like, boom, boom, boom. We got to get there. But planning nothing seeming, I don't know. That was helpful for me.
Well, and it's interesting because I, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording that I have a major decision paralysis. Mm. And if you don't plan something, so for me, like our vacation, we went to Florida and in the few things that I knew I wanted to do, there was a couple of restaurants I wanted to hit because they're our favorite spots. And then a couple that are new that I wanted to try. And then we know we always go play putt putt at the same spot. And then we knew that we wanted to get so many days on the beach. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, that was enough. That was enough to know that if we knock out like 5 out of the 6 of those things, it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Now we did lots of other things, but it wasn't getting there and going like, I have no idea what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so you don't do anything because you just sit there going, oh, there's too many options.
Right. And And by doing that, you also left room for just to open up to new things. Like say you go out to dinner and you get talking to another family or couple there and they say, oh, what have you guys been doing? And they say, oh, you should try this. I'm like, oh, interesting.
Let's go try that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So we pulled ourselves towards the personal family vacation side of things. I want to bring it back to work just for a second. And as we wrap this up, when we're talking about this idea of rest, of vacationing, of the weekend, of sleep, again, it's in service of the business in many ways, mm-hmm. or the team. And mm-hmm. I want that to be clear, is that yes, this is a self-care thing for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I don't want to ever downplay the value of self-care, although I think we can also over-glorify the value of self-care, but like there's self-care is important. Mm-hmm. But it is in many ways important for the team, for the purpose of the organization. And so when the organization, from our perspective, from leadership perspective, when you are incentivizing, when you are encouraging your team to rest, you both have to set the example, which I've struggled with. You've done much better at that than I have, but how do you set the example of taking time off is good? Mm-hmm. How do you set the example of shutting things off in the evenings or whatever the time is, or at least making sure it's clear that you're taking a block of time off in the to rest is good. And then in your one-on-ones, in your planning sessions, how do you recognize how much time will or will not be available? So one of the things we do in our sprint planning for our growth team is say, who's going to be off in this next 2 weeks? Recognizing there probably will be someone on this large-ish team that will be off, and that's good.
Right.
Just name it.
Yep.
That way people aren't expecting like, oh, everyone will be available all the time and you should expect it. And they, if they're ever gone, probably you should question whether or not they're pulling their weight, you know? Mm-hmm. And so making sure that there's just, that's part of the conversation. You're planning for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Larissa is going to be gone. Okay, cool. We know it. She's out on Friday. She's going to take a long weekend, whatever, or she's going to take the full week off. Mm-hmm. We know it now. I think PTO, zero PTO policy is extremely popular right now. I think it's a great model. There are also some downsides to it because you're not, there's no cue to remind you to take time off, because that, when you had vacation that you could lose, you used it.
Right.
And we found that more often than not, we had to kind of remind people, hey, you haven't taken time off, go do it.
Right. Because we almost removed a structure there. Which we, we did. We removed a structure, a limit, a guide rails. It's like, well, now there's no guide rails. And so, which I think is the right way to go. But what introduced a new discipline is encouraging those who haven't taken vacation. And the great thing is like when you are contributing well and you are performing well and you are doing work well for your clients, your customers, but also with your coworkers.
Yep.
When you announce, oh, I'm going on a 2-week vacation, more often than not, at least in my experience, the client in the room is saying, oh, really cool. Where are you going?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like worry or concern, because it's paired with what? It's paired with good hard work.
Yep.
And now you're going to rest and rejuvenate and then come back.
You've invested so much in that trust bank that we've talked about before. That when you say, hey, I'm going to take some time off so that I can recharge and come back and do even better work for you tomorrow or 2 weeks from now, they're like, yeah, do it. Please do it.
Right.
Because I want you at your best.
I think the one last idea that popped into my head that we talked about too that's associated to rest is celebration. So, you know, hitting on that a little bit is that celebrating a job well done, you know, an important release, you know, a product. Achieving a certain milestone, even celebrating personal things at work with your coworkers,
engagements or life events.
It celebration is most certainly underneath that rest category because you're taking time to pause, to step away and
think differently.
Yeah. And like with your team and your coworkers, look at what was just accomplished. Let's celebrate that. That is rest. And so rest is not just absence of consciousness or sleeping. Yeah. And it's not going to a faraway island, though it is, but it's also those small moments of, you know, going out with a happy hour and, you know, saying, hey, cheers to a job well done. This was a great release. The client's so happy. And then what happens the next week? It continues, but you took time to pause and celebrate.
Dan, I'm glad you brought that up. That's such a good reminder because we love to celebrate at Crema. It's definitely a part of our culture, but it's not just the celebration for the sake of celebration. It is celebration because we found that it forces you to do that lateral thinking, that switching your brain to going, is what I'm doing actually creating any value in the world?
Making a difference. Yeah.
Is it making a difference? Yeah. And when you celebrate, you kind of tell your brain like, I'm going to give you that little, what's the stuff in your brain that's good, that makes you feel good.
Endorphins.
I'm going to get a little endorphin kick, which is let's cheers. Let's celebrate. Let's clap. Let's high five or whatever we're allowed to do now. It's gotten better. We can high five a little bit more now.
Right.
That is such a beautiful thing because again, the team comes back around. Now, sometimes it can feel like lip service. Sometimes it can feel like, this is just the thing we're doing because we do it. Cause like we have Wednesdays every Wednesday morning, we celebrate our wins at Crema, but that's a discipline. It's a structure to remind us, let's think differently for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes from now, you're going to go grind again. But this morning, we're all going to come together and we're going to cheers. We're going to clap. We're going to celebrate the hard work that you all been doing. And it also tunes you to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have to ask, what are the wins from the last week? What went well? What's worth celebrating? There's something.
Right.
It's not all grinding and hard work.
Right.
What did we get done? And then we get demos and we get to see what people have done and we get to, Yeah, that's a good point. I think we could have a whole episode just on celebration, but it does fit in this kind of rest category, which is from a moment stepping away from the contribution, feedback, and exploration, and just celebrate, rest, recognize it was good.
Yep.
I think this was good. I can celebrate this episode.
I can too. I don't know where everyone else is when they're listening to this, but for us, it's Friday.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. That's a good point. Good point. It's Friday morning.
That's right. Friday morning.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't crack open a drink quite yet. But, I think this has been a really, really good conversation. And I hope people take away from this the opportunity to look for cues, build the structure, build the planning in to just expect that rest is going to be a part of it. And that you are going to see, we didn't say that explicitly, you're going to be blown away by when you train your people, when you train yourself to rest and then get back to work, the results that you're going to see are going to be pretty mind-blowing, I think.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
All right, Dan. Well, have a good restful weekend.
You too. See you.
Bye.
This episode of People of Product was produced by Larissa McCarty with support from Gabby Caton, Julie Branson, and Alexa Alfonso. Our hosts are George Brooks and Daniel Linhart. People of Product is brought to you by Crema, a digital product agency. We believe that creativity, technology, and culture can help individuals and organizations thrive. Learn more at crema.us.